I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Scam Wow. I'm Caitlin Brodnick. I'm your host. I love you and I love scams. Wow, guys, I love scams so much. And it's interesting when you try to explain that to a friend who said, like, well, my grandmother got conned out of $5,000. And I'm still smiling. And I'm not smiling for her grandmother. I'm not happy her grandmother got scammed. But the fascination I have with scams, I'm like, what company was it? Were they outsourced in, like, you know, middle America, or was it overseas? Like, I want to know the complexities, because these simple scams, they seem so simple and they seem so easy to everyone, but they so quickly have a whole network of people to dupe you and convince you and just grab you. And it's just so fascinating to me. So again, I'm sorry for anybody who's been scammed, but I also would really like to know the story and want to hear about it. Guys, so today's episode is with a very close friend of mine, Cody Lindquist, who's a wonderful actress and comedian, mother, hysterical. And we started our episode just gabbing as great friends, and I don't even think we did the opening. And there's a couple times in this episode where I probably sound so goofy girly, but that's because I'm hanging out with my good friend. We just had so much fun. We're talking about the scams of plastics and really, like, how marketing and big business and how they've done it. Not necessarily a scam with a piece of plastic from a specific one company, just the general sense of plastics. And yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled. For some reason, my voice is very deep today, and I think it's sexy, but also allergies. So thank you, allergies. And yeah, I miss you guys all. I need to do a Scamwell mailbag soon because I am just dying to check in with everyone. It's been a minute. Corey, thank you for sending me the sweetest messages. Annie, I love all of you guys. You can find us on Scamwell Podcast, on social media, and Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok, I think. And just message me on Instagram if you ever want to chat, because I love you all. And thank you again to our Patreon patrons. We're doing new Patreon episodes each month, and it makes a huge impact in my life. It's so nice of you and so helpful, and it really makes a change, and I really appreciate it. So thank you, Kate and Jesse, for your amazing work as editors and my producers. And Cody is a great guest. Enjoy!
Thank you.
actually incredibly excited for this topic today.
Fun.
I'm so excited because I don't know that much about it, and I'm so excited you picked it.
Oh my gosh. I've been walking around like the city just staring at mountains of trash.
Yes.
Like, I'm so.
And it's in our water now.
It's everywhere. Like the trash in New York has gotten worse and worse and worse. And then the pandemic just like blew it out.
So guys, we're talking about plastic and the scam of plastics, the scam of
not
trash.
Plastic surgery.
No.
That I imagine would be a completely separate.
Oh,
I'll come
done,
back on. We'll figure please. Something out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love plastic surgery. I'm after watching Love Island. I'm like, I guess we all are getting veneers now. It's insane.
But
it's
they don't
insane.
Do a good job of making it look normal. It makes it look just like
normal
a
to
row,
them.
Like yes. a row of shells.
Yes. But also, I'm like, does that make you look like rich? I'm like, is that the symbol now?
I mean, it was duck lips like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was the duck lips.
It
and
really
now
was.
It's the veneers. And what is next, really? Like, what is the next thing that I will not do but be obsessed
with? Obsessed with.
Obsessed with. Yeah. To be fair, some people need them because they have like rotten teeth or something. I don't know. I don't know. Aren't they just dentures? What's the difference?
Okay. They – dentures you click in, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember my great-grandma had, like...
You snap them in, and you clean them. They're in and out.
I remember. I don't...
And then when they're out, it's terrifying. Yes, I think
it was, like, in a bottle, like, in a little cup with, you know, like, a Alka-Seltzer.
Yes. Then my Bubby and Poppy had that. And it was, like, and then when you saw them without it, you were, like, where's half of your mouth?
Where's
your face? It's really scary.
That's so funny. So I wonder, like, okay... You have to do a podcast about the history of teeth, but
I do.
When did the, like, now they're just like, oh, they would just pull all your teeth and then just give you these cheap things, right?
No, they.
And then now they're like, let's whittle down your existing teeth.
Yes, whittle them down so that we have like an anchor and then we put the veneer around it.
You don't have to remove them at the end of the night.
Shockingly. And like,
a la George Washington.
I have like this, like, it will always be uneven on my bottom lip because. Mm-hmm. In college, I wanted to like make out with boys, so I stopped wearing my retainer and it like fucked up my teeth forever. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Hey, you know what? Life is a trade-off.
And if you
you're
have
only young
kisses,
once.
Yeah. You gotta have some teeth screwed up. But and then every time I wear my retainer, my teeth go back to normal. And then within 4 minutes, flip back to the crooked.
My niece just had her braces off. And she has this like... Now it's just like a gap, and she has to put the retainer on. It just goes back and forth. It's so
yes,
weird.
That's how mine is. Anywho, we're talking about
that's not
the
what this
scam
topic
of
is.
Plastics. The scam of plastics. Wait, Cody. Also, I didn't plug your podcast yet. You're a great friend of mine from UCB and comedian and writer and actress and star.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. A star of my own home.
You are.
yes, I have a podcast called Two Beers In, a Tipsy Political Roundtable. It's also a live show at Caveat. Mm-hmm. I don't know when our next show is, but I will put it on my Instagram.
Yeah.
If you can find me, Cody Lindquist on Instagram. I don't have
her.
A TikTok. I apparently need to get veneers and a TikTok now. I mean, what is it? 2022.
A TikTok takes up so much of your time. Like,
I just don't need another thing that takes up my time. I just don't need it.
It will. Yeah. They're like, they're very addictive. They can only be short. And so you think like, oh, this is another little tiny thing. And then you're on it for 3 hours and you're ignoring your life.
Well, then everything says get off social media, all this stuff. Oh, and then everything else is like, but you have to have a TikTok. You have to have a whatever.
Yeah, I don't think
content,
so.
Content. I'm like, I'm looking out for my mental health.
Right.
Thank you very much. I don't have time for this.
I love mental health.
Less social media for me.
Completely.
But yes, my show, we get tipsy and we talk about politics with politicians and comedians.
Great. It's good. You guys have been doing it for years and it's very good.
Thank you. Yeah. We've been doing it since 2016. Do you remember anything big happening in 2016?
No. Some kind of guy named Thrump? I don't know. We don't talk about him.
We don't talk about him. Although you need to do a whole like series about the scams
we've
from Trump.
We've done his also his like father scams. Like,
oh,
the weird like real estate shit. And like we've talked about it like a bunch. And then also it got like just like super depressing too because we were like, everything sucks.
Well, this plastics one's not going to make you feel good
about
the world
either.
No,
I know. I'm glad because The plastic scam, though, is something that I do think about all the time. Like, I'm thinking about it constantly. I love plastic, but I'm also like, this, everything I see, I'm like, well, this is just going to then sit someplace and block a turtle's windpipe or something. Like, I'm just, it's so distracting.
Well, what's frustrating about it is, like, okay, so we'll start with the history of plastic, right?
Great.
So I want to say, too, that I am not a plastic expert. No. I'm just interested. This is a comedy podcast, and we have a disclaimer
that, like, it's okay.
I'm going to preface this by saying I read a bunch of articles. Scientific American has a good one on the history of plastic. And Planet Money, I recommend another podcast, has a great podcast about this called Wasteland, and it won a bunch of awards, and they will be more accurate in the telling of this because they're journalists.
Yeah, they're being paid to.
They're being paid, and they're journalists, and so I recommend listening to that podcast too to fill in the gaps.
Yeah,
and then you can write in and say all the things that I said wrong.
Great, I love it.
But the history of plastic, like, it's been around for a while, since the 1800s, and it started from a good place. Like, so before we had plastic, there was a need for things like combs and billiards, which sounds crazy, but in the 1800s, like, there were billiards in, like, a bunch of rich homes.
Yeah.
I know. You think about that. Like,
I know.
And what would you make them out of, right?
Right, I guess. Marvelous.
So things were – environmentally, it was not sustainable because they were killing all these elephants and building things with – ivory.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they were building, like, billiards and all this stuff. Combs were being made out of, like, turtle shells. So they were killing all these turtles.
Wow.
So, you know, it started from a good place. They I think originally, I mean, there's a whole history of plastics, but first there was, like, a primitive kind of plastic.
Sure.
And it wasn't as super pliable and moldable. You know, they had all these different types of stuff. And then things kind of exploded after World War II, all right? Because people came back from World War II and, like, you know, that's when the consumerism kind of exploded, you know?
Completely. And everybody wanted to sort of show off they were the best.
Yeah, everyone's going to have a home. Everyone's going to have a
Who can imagine that?
All white people will have a home. Exactly. That's really more what they wanted.
Exactly.
But in these homes, you know, you're going to have a dishwasher. You're going to have a radio. Like, all these things started to explode, and they really needed to be able to make them. So this guy, before World War II, this guy, Leo Baekeland, invented something called Bakelite. And that was, like, the first time where you combined formaldehyde, which was a waste, and with this thing called phenol, I think, which is, like, a waste product of coal.
Oh.
So the plastics we use today are mostly derived from oil.
Ew.
God bless oil, right?
Yes,
everything
constant.
Goes back to
And also, if it oil. Could be made without oil, people are like, no, let's keep it to oil. It's really helping us financially.
Well, no, that's 100% how it started. Yeah. So, like, This guy made this Bakelite thing, and that was, like, kind of the big plastic after World War II. So, like, they would make radios out of it, like, all the phones. Think about those, like, old phones. Like, that kind of stuff, I think, was made, you know, from that. Again, listen to another podcast with people who are historians, if you want. If you want the accurate information.
We're here for the fun.
So it all came from, like, a good place.
Okay.
Right? Like,
let's
we're not killing
kill
elephants.
So many turtles, right?
Let's, like, save a turtle and make a comb out of, like,
No more deer antlers, you know.
Totally.
That we brush our teeth with. Yeah.
Right. So then after, you know, World War II, and we're using this, like, more primitive thing, this Bakelite.
Bakeloriate.
Bakeloriate. That's the correct
That's the word.
Term for it. Then they started, you know, needing something that was more pliable, and, like, this Bakelite was, like, dark, like a wood color.
Oh, okay.
So eventually, the good old oil companies kind of took over and got involved.
Okay.
And I think that was, like, yeah, it was, like, in the early decades of the 20th century. So the petroleum and chemical industries began to form alliances and companies like Dow Chemical, ExxonMobil, DuPont. And these companies, they're still the major producers of the raw material resins for plastics industry today.
Okay. So resin comes from an oil now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, did you know that? Like, I don't feel like I fully – I knew plastics were bad, but I don't know if I was fully like, oh, yeah, they're oil.
No, I think the only thing I knew about plastic is just when, like, Lewis was born, they started coming out with BPA, everything, and BPA free, that, like, it was a chemical inside the plastic that if children under two ingested or licked or sucked on, it could potentially cause brain damage.
Which is so interesting because
I still sure know that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I'm an 80s baby. I grew up in the 80s. And I just think about, like, the plastics in our lives. Now, to be fair, we did not drink water as children. I think that's a pretty universal thing that children of the 80s just didn't drink water. It was like Kool-Aid or soda or milk.
I had a lot of water I was disappointed in. I was constantly disappointed by my beverage because my mom wouldn't let us do Kool-Aid.
It was, that's super rare.
It was because, very rare.
Like, but we didn't have water bottles, right? Like, we didn't bring a water bottle to school. You drank out of a water fountain. What did you – did you bring a water bottle to school?
I didn't until – no, I remember I brought a water bottle to camp because, like, camp was really hot and I was in dance camp. But I think I nursed that all day.
But like also in camp, I feel like we had those, like, big orange Gatorade buckets, like, water. Yes, do you know, with the little, like, paper cups?
No, I don't remember. I remember begging my mom for any drink that was a color, that was colorful. And because also,
you had a good mom, Caitlin.
I did. Well, she was very ahead of her time in that way, which was brilliant. But I was so frustrated about it. All I wanted was, like, a gel tube of candy or something that was like,
oh, yes.
That was what the 80s were.
Candy. It was like you would just squeeze sugar,
but it was actually candy. Yes.
Oh,
I just wanted, it was at 7-Eleven. I wanted all of it. And all of these parents that were giving it to their kids, to their credit, it was so inundated with us in our media. It was every commercial, everything was about so exciting.
That's what I mean. It was new. They didn't really know everything was bad, like all that stuff. Yeah. So, you know, like really the height of the plastic stuff started in the 70s and 80s, right? So that's when it was like, I think before that, I would be interested to talk to somebody who's older. But like, you know, we would go to McDonald's and you would get styrofoam and plastic and all these things. And before that, I just feel like, what would they wrap things in? Like paper? Like you'd get like a paper cup? Like
I think there were things of paper. And then also I do remember, I don't know if you remember that, like nowadays, like we just have Tupperware and we throw it around. But before then, like my grandparents would have like, or my grandmother had like really nice like etched ceramic ware. And they would have like very pretty bowls. And like just her mixing bowl was like that, whatever that famous British one is. Like we would just have like
Pyrex?
No, not as cool as Pyrex, like that glass. It was like a Mason something, like it's on like British Bake Off. Whenever you see the
so
bowls that they mix.
You grew up very fancy is what I'm hearing.
No, you grew up with a British grandmother.
You drank water and you also had. So from what I'm hearing is your family has veneers. Like that's what I'm hearing.
I wish. My God. I think we're all in line to get veneers. My grandma did get herself braces at like 70.
Well, you said she's British, right?
She's
British.
So I'm
picturing a bad situation with teeth, which I'm so sorry if anyone is British listening. But
no, I know. Her teeth were fine, but then, of course, crooked. And the doctor was like, you can't have braces. You're like 70. And she's like, I don't care. Put them on me. And she did. And she had braces at 70. And it actually made her look younger.
Man, this is so interesting. Cute. See, my dentist was right offering to fix my gaps at 42.
At any point in your life, you can just wear braces and you look cute. I think so. My grandmother's generation, there must have been plastics, but also that you would pass down like ceramic bowls.
Yes. Well, also then remember Tupperware parties were a big thing, right? Like
and that was
you
expensive.
Would go and you'd get Tupperware and it was a big deal. And now we just, you know, like any. There's
it's like
so
Ziploc.
Much plastic.
I know. Yeah. That's the thing, too. So I even think, like, even if plastics were more popular or more exciting, there was still a limited amount at that time.
Well, okay. So now we're going to get into some scam.
Okay, I love it.
Because it's not just an accident that plastic exploded, right?
Okay.
So in the 70s, plastics started happening, and they really started making, like, soda bottles and milk jugs were like the big thing because, you know, before that it was glass. I grew up drinking glass soda, like out of a, we would get the like six pack of.
See, that's fancy. I never had that.
Well, you didn't have soda, apparently. That's true, that's true. I grew up on soda. I'm a soda kid.
I love soda.
I had a lot of
though.
Cavities as a child.
I love it.
I had working parents, Caitlin, mm-hmm. working teenage parents, you know? They were literally teenagers and they worked. So I had all the best parts of the
80s. I don't fault any parent. I want to eat soda and drink soda all day long. Like the other day, I ordered a Diet Coke and Alan's like, you know enough to know. Like, this is, like, you don't like Diet Coke.
Okay.
And I was like, but I need it. I need that. Bit.
Yes. Also, like, you know, it's birthday cake. We're always going to have a birthday
cake.
We're
always
going
to have it. Yeah. I just needed it.
Yeah. So they started making these two things specifically. And it was really innovative because milk, like before that, I was like, the milkman would come with these jugs, like whatever. And they were recycling at this point. They were in the 70s. They were recycling, right? They were recycling, not plastic, but they were recycling cans and glass, mm-hmm. like all that stuff. They had a recycling program in place. And also in the 70s, there was an environmental movement.
Totally. It was
Shocker.
Very cool. It was very cool to care about the environment.
Yeah, because like rivers were burning. I mean, literally literally rivers were burning. People would just throw trash in. Out the car window. I have this very funny story, side note, of my great-grandmother lived with us when I was mm-hmm. little, and she... Awesome. Had Alzheimer's mm-hmm. at the end. She was very old and I loved her and she was very mm-hmm. fun. But sometimes like we would just be, one time we were just riding in the car and she had a milkshake and she just rolled down the window and threw the full milkshake out the window. And what I loved about that, I was like, oh, she thinks it's 1972.
Yeah.
And this is before like...
You know what I mean? Just toss your trash in. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Just like a full milkshake. She forgot she had the milkshake, and B, she thought it was 1972,
and she had
just
to get rid of
it.
Honestly,
but that is sort of what would happen in the 70s. You just threw shit out the window.
You just tossed it.
Who cares? And then they started having this building environmental movement that mm-hmm. we squashed in the 80s, obviously. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. They had recycling, but they did not have recycling for these plastics.
Okay,
and. You know, it was a pretty big deal because plastics were kind of coming up everywhere, right. Especially the disposable ones. And the environmental movement was happening at the same time. And people were like, there's just too much plastic building up. Because you think about, too, like part of what makes plastic great is that it is this synthetic material and it's very durable, right?
Durable, like I was going to say.
Yeah. Like they were having all these issues. Like you'd break a glass milk jug or you'd break a glass soda can mm-hmm. or container. So they were having all these issues with transport. And it was like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden it's so light to transport these things.
Right, right.
They don't break. We're saving tons of money.
You can ship them in plastic even. Like it's all way better.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So it became this thing. But then people were like, wait a minute. I have this giant milk jug and you're recycling my glass one.
Right.
But you're not recycling this and I'm just throwing it away.
Right.
And anyone like you know, if you're ever on vacation and you can't recycle, you know.
It feels very weird.
It feels so insane to just throw away this like giant, you know, it feels really insane. So they started to have this like crisis in the lobbying group was the Society of the Plastics Industry, which I just think is so funny, like a society of plastic. It feels very weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they sent a memo to the plastic, main plastic manufacturers in 1973.
Okay.
Saying that basically you can't recycle plastic.
Hmm.
It's too expensive. And every time, not only that, but every time you recycle plastic, it degrades.
I was going to say, you have to melt it down.
Even if you melt it down. It degrades. So you can maybe recycle it once, but it's not like glass that like you melt down and build up and melt down and build up.
Yeah,
like because it's this synthetic material, it just
falls apart.
It can't really be done efficiently and it's time consuming.
Okay.
So it was much easier and much cheaper to just keep making plastic out of new oil.
Okay.
So since 1973, the plastic industry has known this, right? But then they had this huge problem because there was this massive amount of trash, plastic trash.
Right.
And their whole image was falling apart and the environmental movement was taking hold. So they hired this lobbying company to meet with them and fix it. And the lobbying company just said, how about we just tell people they can recycle it, even though you can't?
Wow.
And so they were like, wow, what a brilliant idea. So gaslighting is apparently the thing. Whoa. So then they spent millions of dollars. And when we were kids, like,
recycle, reuse.
Reuse, reduce, recycle, all of that. Captain Planet. And they came up with the little recycling symbol that goes on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So what they started doing was you can technically recycle still plastic jugs and like milk jugs and soda bottles. Those things you can recycle. Now, sorting is really important with plastics. You can't mix the types of plastics because you have to use the same type of plastic to melt it down. Mm-hmm. And again, you can technically recycle these things, but it's expensive and it's not really that efficient. It's much more efficient to just use new oil.
Right.
So, but then they decided to put the plastic recycling symbol with little numbers in it. Okay. So then they just started putting numbers on everything that was plastic and they would just make up numbers, right? And then the recycling industry was like, wait a second. Wait, we're getting all these things that we can't recycle.
Wow.
And basically they just made it up. Whoa. So like the plastic tube that you get your toothpaste in.
Yeah.
You can't recycle that. And I still think to this day you really can't recycle them.
Yeah, it's really hard to recycle dark plastics too.
Just really plastic is very hard. So I think currently right now we recycle like 10% of our plastic. And that's always been the case. Always been the case since the beginning. So they just spent millions and millions of dollars. So low.
Because they're also making millions. Like for them, the millions of dollars in advertisement is nothing to the billions and trillions that they're making hand over fist, you know, like in their businesses. And I wonder, because then there's the things like, which I don't ever see enough of. You see growing up, there'd be like a playground made of like old tire, like composite. Mm-hmm. Or they'd go through this thing like this, these jeans were made of old plastic. Like, I never thought there was enough of that. I'm like, for the amount of plastic we're eating and making and grabbing, there's not enough like recycled playground for people to play on.
Yeah, there's not. And now like it because people felt good about it being recycled.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't.
It's all fake.
Then it is just exploded. So the increase in plastics in the 80s and 90s has just skyrocketed. And now we have famous plastic bottle mountains in the ocean and all this stuff. But they did it on purpose. They lied. They said you could recycle things. They knew you couldn't.
Is their thought just like, we're going to die before they have to deal with it? Like by the time it catches to everyone, we'll be rich and dead.
Maybe. I mean, I think so. They have talked to some of these lobbyists who came up with the campaign. And I think part of it was, you know, in the 80s and 90s, like people didn't really think it was going to be, you know, it was like more the bottom line and not really thinking about it being a problem, right?
Yeah.
Like it's going to be a problem down the road. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But now we're seeing these mountains of plastic everywhere.
And industry's just built on it. Because then you have the beverage industry built on Gatorade bottles, you know.
Built on Gatorade bottles. And then just think about plastic water bottles.
I know.
Like what the hell?
I know.
Bottled water? That was never a thing.
Yeah.
You just got water from the tap. And now this whole generation of people who are growing up just like...
only bottled water.
Yes. Or just thinking like water is something you buy. Like water was free. There were water fountains everywhere.
I know.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content.
And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
What's interesting now, you know, we're still in the exact same place we were 30 years later.
Right.
We recycle the same amount of plastic, but we have even more plastic.
Yeah.
And what's interesting now is the makers of plastic, obviously, like the oil industry, they're touting now this new thing of like, we're going to have all of our plastic recyclable by 2040.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's crazy.
Yeah. So they keep saying this.
Mm-hmm.
And when they've done the research,
by blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Right. When they do the research, everything is still the same. They're saying, well, we need to educate people to sort their plastic, and we need to, you know, figure out new ways to do it. But that's what they've been saying for 30 years. They have no new plan. It's not like, okay, oh, we've created this machine that will
that's what the advertisement looks like. It's like, we've created a solution to change this, because we would want it to change tonight if we could. But they're making it sound like it's an innovation that's going to take years.
No, they haven't come up with anything. There's no new technology to do it.
They just hope people will be forced to have more babies, and those babies will figure it out.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting to think about all the things in your life that come from plastic, and everything you use that has plastic in it. Yeah. And then think about when you were younger, all the things you use that had plastic in it, and it was so much less. Even though we grew up with plastic, it's not like the generation before us that had – it's not like the, you know, grandmothers that had just their passed down glassware.
Right. Well, I also think of it as like, so being a mother too, like I grew up with a ton of plastic cups because I broke everything. Like I remember like vividly breaking tons of glass as a kid.
Can you imagine giving your child like a glass cup now?
And I think glass bottles. Like I think I had glass bottles at a point, but I remember like figurines, like anything that was delicate or ceramic, I 100% would break out of all the grandchildren.
Broken.
It was
me
running into a dresser and knocking it over. But now they spend so much time making like, okay, plastics are safe for a kid. But then I go online and I find this like a Pyrex version or something like anchor glass that's a really strong, like wonderful glass that you can use for your Tupperware. And so instead of 30 years of developing like a glass that's really strong that can be broken down and renewed, they're spending the time developing more tiny pieces of plastic, flimsy shit.
Yes, yes. And also, so not only has plastic like gotten in the water, gotten everywhere, plastic, as we said before, degrades like over time.
Right.
And these little microplastics are everywhere.
Yes.
And they're like particulates that we breathe, that get in our skin.
Yes.
You know, so we have become this like world of plastic that's, who knows what the, who knows what the health effects.
Yeah. And the microplastics are in the bottled water. The bottled water. I talked to this bodega guy who I love, and he's like, yeah, that water's, like people are buying his water. And he's like, yeah, but I don't know what kind of microplastic they're drinking. And he's like, that's just, people are obsessed with this bottled water. And he's like, I would never drink it.
I know. New York tap water, baby. New York tap water. I know. It's so good.
It's so good.
I was out of town and I was drinking the tap water. I was like, what is this swill? New York tap water is the best.
I go to take water out of the tap. My family's all like, everyone is always like, oh, I forget how easy that is. Like in other places. Well, and then I think at least every other day I think of Flint, Michigan. I can't stop thinking of Flint, Michigan.
I know.
I think of it all the time and it really upsets me. And then I was thinking of the amount of plastics that Flint, Michigan is producing because they can't drink any water.
Right,
it has to be bottled water.
Well, we do this thing too where – we do the cheap fix at the beginning, like, make this cheap thing, do this. But the amount of money that you, over the long run, that it costs, you know, that's the American way to me, is just like quick, cheap fixes that actually in the long run cost way more than spending money to fix it correctly the first time. Like, if we just put pipes in, like, think how much money, you know, it's like.
Yes, I do know.
Frustrating, the American way.
It really is. And I was talking to a friend who's a designer, actually, and was a props designer, and she was designing a futuristic space for one of her projects. And she goes, to be totally honest, everyone puts like the Jetsons, like everything's futuristic, everything's levitated, everything's like vacant. She goes, I think we are going to be inundated with more stuff, and we're actually going to be like climbing up stairs of our own stuff. And I was like,
oh gosh.
Isn't that insane, Cody? But she's so right.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to have to
makes
find,
me want
to
like lose my freak mind. Out. I know,
but
it.
I think. But I mean, this is future. But she was like, I think that the next stop is like to figure out how to combine the stuff into, like, not make more stuff, like the junk that we have, making that into something.
Yeah. Well, and I would like to plug, this isn't, I have no monetary investment in this, but I would also like to plug your local Buy Nothing group on Facebook.
Oh, yes. Which I love those.
I don't love Facebook, but the groups are great. Mm-hmm. But there's a movement called the Buy Nothing group, and you can get one. It's very hyper-local, so each neighborhood has one.
Yeah.
I am a member of the Midtown West.
Amazing. I'm a
Hell's Kitchen Buy Nothing group. But what's amazing about it is it's not just like Craigslist. You don't sell anything. You give away and you can request things. And it has been a game changer for kids' stuff.
Oh,
like,
yes.
I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. When they're done with a baby toy or whatever, I put it on a Buy Nothing. And then I'm also getting stuff from people who have a nine-year-old who are getting rid of the 4. Yeah. So for stuff like that, it's been a real game changer. Like, think about all the toys we have. We just buy these plastic toys and we use them once. Like, they should just be, you should just be recycling them amongst like parents in the neighborhood.
I try
and stuff.
To. Yeah. I hand like bags of gifts to my friends and she'll be like, do you have any clothes for me this week? Like, and my thing too that Lewis is going through, which is driving me crazy, are sneakers. Like, his feet are growing at a rate. His little best friend is like, has been a size 8 or is almost a size 8 now for the past year. Lewis is on a size 1.5 now and he's 4. Like, he isn't, his feet are nuts.
I think
they're
my
like
8-year-old's on a 1.5. Oh,
I know.
Gosh.
Cody, I know.
Well, he's on a 2. Yeah, 2.
Yeah, he's about to be, he's in a 1.5 already and he is just like, I'm like handing sneakers to everyone in the city. I'm like, please take these because we can't keep them up.
Yeah.
But,
if I have any shoes left over, I'll give them
Please,
to you.
I'll take them all.
One more plastic thing that I think is
tell me.
Very fascinating. So, you know how like, okay, we started off talking about New York City being covered in trash.
Yes.
And it is driving me crazy.
Yeah.
So New York City, like, you think about Oscar the Grouch, right?
Right.
In the 70s when Sesame Street was like, you know, I guess, was it created in the 70s, 60s?
I don't know.
Again, a historian will figure this out.
Somebody else will.
But you think about Oscar the Grouch, right? So Oscar lives in a trash can. Mm-hmm. That trash can was the iconic New York City waste disposal.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 70s, you would have that trash can, these like metal trash cans with a lid, and they would be pulled out at night, and that's what they would dump into the into the trash trucks. So there was this massive strike that happened with the waste management folks, and they went on strike. And in the 70s, they were like, it's too loud. Like these, you know, the residents were like, this too loud. They were like, they're too bulky. They're too heavy. Mm-hmm. And this was part of like the strike that I think there were obviously, I'm sure, monetary
labor
stuff,
issues, yeah,
like other labor issues. Mm-hmm. I don't think generally when
tons of fun racism thrown in there always.
Yeah. Always. Oh, like, again, I'm sure there's a long history, but one of the ways they got out of the strike was they had just created plastic bags, the oil industry had. So they donated like thousands of bags to New York City. And they said, here, try this.
Wow.
So now when you see these mountains of plastic trash in New York City, it is directly related back to the fact that the plastics industry was like, let's get New York City to use our plastic bags. And of course, like the, you know, the trash industry loved it because they were easy and lightweight. Mm-hmm. You know, you could pick them up and throw them in. And everybody was like, well, I guess it's fine, you know. But now cut to, we've got 8 million residents, like with a million Amazon boxes and a million whatever. Yes. And it's just like Trash City, you know.
Oh, yeah. And if guys, if you can't picture this, if you haven't recently or like seen a picture of, in New York.
Google it.
So yeah, one, Google it. But also imagine like an entire, so they have trash days in New York, like. The trash comes by. It's not daily. It is, each street will get like Wednesdays and Saturdays. Like
and they cut it down during COVID, which makes absolutely no sense because people were getting
more stuff.
And
so you have the trash cans that are out in front of these buildings that are also where people have to walk, dogs have to walk, where there's like cars
strollers.
Are parked. Totally. So you have like a few trash cans.
No, they don't take it away from cars. They never take it away from parkers.
No.
And they only take it away from pedestrians.
Yeah, that's true. So then
the car remains.
The car is fine. So then you have like a couple trash cans with trash bags on it, and then it's the entire building's trash because it's on that Wednesday. So the trash, as Cody's describing, is another bag piled on top of like you have a sudden pyramid of plastic trash bags that are about to burst. Like at any moment you could get
spewed. And they do burst.
They burst frequently. And then you have the frustrated New Yorker that just throw their loose trash on top of the pile.
Yeah, then because they're like, oh, it's a trash pile.
It's a trash pile.
It's a constant cycle. I mean, I could do a whole podcast about the insane trash issues in New York City. And it's really bad. We have a great city councilman who Eric Botcher, who has a trash plan. And he's new this year. So hopefully
Yes, and I'll say a thing that does – I do see a lot of people carrying around huge bags and like turning bottles over and putting bottles in for money. So I know that it is serving, that there are people that are getting some sort of benefit from the recycling.
But again, Caitlin, are those things being recycled?
You're right.
No.
They're not.
They think they're being recycled.
Yeah, I have a hack though for anybody who's into gardens and planting and pots. So I know like everybody had all these plant babies when COVID hit and we have all these pots now and our plants are getting huge. The hack is that you take a water bottle or you take any kind of plastic, you kind of cut it in half and crinkle it up and you put that in mixed with the bottom like two-thirds of your pot because – you can then put soil over it. It aerates the soil. So the plastic doesn't go anywhere because we all know plastic's not going anywhere. But what happens is your roots of your plant goes through and like, sort of like climbs through all of the open little spaces that the plastic provides. So your plants get their roots around, but the soil is more aerated because usually with indoor plants, you just keep adding water. And so the soil gets really compacted. So the roots kind of get stuck or root bound or like root rot. So if you put old plastic water bottles, anything like kind of crinkled up or like even like, I wouldn't say something flimsy like a wrapper, like a plastic wrapper. I would definitely say like a water bottle or like a paper
harder
cup.
Plastic.
Yeah, a harder, worser for your plastic.
One for the environment.
Right, worse for the environment. Put that in your pot and then put everything on top. It is actually better for your plants. And they're like a third or like two-thirds lighter because you don't have soil in there. So you can also put it in your gardens outside too because like a lot of New Yorker people have like those raised beds. But you can do sort of the same thing that over time the raised beds get compacted with just more and more soil and stuff. Right. And the nutrients aren't always getting to the plant. So you can kind of do that too.
I really like that idea. That's great.
I'm like, you know what? If the plastic's going to sit around, at least it's going to sit around at my house. You know?
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, look, the hopeful thing is that people seem to be more hip to stuff now. And now that you know that plastic is by an evil conglomerate of oil companies, then, you know, like if you just think twice about the plastic that you're putting into or buying, you know, like I try to use reusable everything now.
Really?
You know, I compost now, like I've got a lot. And like, is that ultimately going to do anything? I don't know. But
it does something. Like if you think of
it,
because we still use, and I'm embarrassed to say, we still use like little plastic baggies to bring Lewis's food around. And I'm thinking like if I stacked all that up together, I'd be incredibly embarrassed if somebody like handed me back a trash can filled with tiny plastic bags. So
the plastic bags are some of the worst offenders.
I know. All right. I'm going to work on that. Because you can do the wax things, right? You can do like wax paper.
I do use wax paper, but more
is wax
I
bad?
Use those.
I don't even know.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I'm like, it's fine. I don't know. Google it. It might be bad. There'll be a whole other episode about how wax is ruining
the year
the bee
wax
population
ruined America.
Or something. I don't know. But I use, I have like plastic or not plastic. They're like rubber reusable.
Yes, that's what I want.
And I use those.
They're like silicone things.
Yeah, they're like silicone. They're probably also bad, but they get reused, you know, so they can't be that bad. But yeah, I mean, I think like the difference now between the 80s and 90s is like we're all hip to the fact that the plastics industry is lying to us, like, or more suspicious of it.
Right. So now we all feel very bad.
Yeah. Like if I have to, I get like my cold brew coffee in a reusable growler.
Oh, nice.
And but like, you know, the other day I forgot my growler and I had to get a plastic cup.
And did it feel so terrible?
It felt terrible. Icky. And what's frustrating about it too is that like before COVID, I would use my reusable cup all the time. But now they have this like COVID theater where they're like, oh, we can't touch your cup to refill it, you know, for like COVID purposes or whatever. I think places are getting better about that now. But like I remember in 2020 being like, what? I can't use a reusable cup now because you're scared. Like I have COVID on my hand and you're putting COVID on your hand. Like what is happening?
Right.
Like it's an airborne disease. You're not wearing a mask, but you're going to grab,
I know.
You won't grab my cup. Like what is happening?
Oh, I know, Cody. And that also too, like everything was take your stuff to go. I think of like the industry of like food, like nothing was, we were in such an like at least agreeable place with everything reusable. You know, like
yes,
I feel like at Whole Foods, they'd have like a bunch of like biodegradable materials and stuff. And everybody was like earthy, crunchy, and it was very in to use your reusable cup. And then COVID freaked everyone out. And we've all like kind of become insane, you know, in a normal way.
Yeah. And we did ban plastic bags in New York, which is a really big
That's
thing.
Really
and
cool.
then the next thing, you can email your city councilman, or council person. I don't mean to say man. Oh, that's so gendered of me. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
There are lots of wonderful women, females.
I don't even think
I'm non-binary.
City councilman.
I mean, what am I saying?
No, well, it's so funny because when you say that, it's my problem. But when I think of like the man in government, I think of this like Ron Paul looking guy who's like, I hope he'll listen to my email. Like I am afraid of all these crazy people. Yeah.
But especially there are things you can do on the local level. Like there's a movement to try to get it so that you have to opt in for plastic utensils. When you think about when you get to go and you always, I always click like, I don't want the plastic utensils and they always put the plastic utensils in there anyway.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make it so that it can be an opt-in. Like you can request plastic utensils, but think how much that would save. So
that would save huge.
You know, get involved in the trash movement in your town. My kids and my husband and I do something in our neighborhood called Litter Legion where we go around and clean up.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Clean up the streets and pick up trash. And that's really cool. So I would just say like, try to reduce as much as you can, but also just look around and think of ways in your neighborhood or your town where you can reduce plastic in some way, you know?
But I also want to say to all the moms out there and people out there, like, this also is not our fault. And I think that's a huge part of the scam is that they say like, okay, we're going to put it on the consumer that it's their fault. And I feel that like at times in my life where I have felt just fully depleted and just either like lack of sleep, lack of financial stuff, whatever it is. And I'm like, I can't deal with recycling this stupid thing. I'm just throwing it in the trash. Like, I also think like the human, we should also give people credit because like there are people living all kinds of socioeconomic levels that maybe don't feel that they have the ability to spend the extra whatever to get the fancier reusable plastic source. Like maybe you just have to get dollar store things this week, and maybe in a couple of years you won't. You know, and I think like the putting the pressure on people.
Well, but the one thing too, Caitlin, I will say, it is cheaper to find reusable things. Again, this goes back to the thing of if you just spend a little money up front, then you can save money in the long run. And I understand that it's hard to come up with the seed money for that. As someone who grew up, you know, not in a situation that didn't have the best, you know, like, yes, it's hard to do that, but it does save you money in the long run.
Yes. I just don't want people, I feel like the part that is drives me crazy about the scam is that they're having the people turn on themselves. They're having us, the consumer, and the people that are told that, like, you can recycle plastic, this and that, that it's, we're beating ourselves up. We're not good enough. Like, we've caused this issue. It's our mistake. Yes, human beings have caused this issue.
No, but you were lied to. The plastics industry told you, hey, don't worry about it. You can recycle it. It's all good. It's all good.
Right.
And part of it is just knowing that it's not all good and that they screwed up.
Yeah, don't.
Once again, we can blame the oil industry for so much.
The oil industry, it makes me depressed. I just don't know where it's going to go. I'm just like, where are we going, guys?
I know. But I think, again, having our eyes open to it is helpful, right? Like,
yes. And
think of how far we've come in innovation in terms of like phones and things like that. Like, how have we not figured out a way to find a completely biodegradable plastic that is as cheap, if not cheaper, you know?
I think the issue – well, here's the thing. I think there are a few that have come up with it. Like, I've seen something on, like, an Instagram saying it's like
they've got a new plastic. Yeah, they make them out of corn syrup and things like that,
But then I have a feeling that the oil industry knocks them down, buys out the company. Of course.
They want everyone to make everything with oil.
Totally.
It's frustrating. It's all frustrating, but, you know.
But we're getting there. We're getting there.
Slowly but surely, we're getting there.
I know.
I wish I had had a more fun scam about like,
scams are interesting to me, but they're not always like the happiest. And so we do have to add like a spin to them, you know?
That's true.
It's totally okay. Yeah, I just think like, what was I going to say about the plastic? Oh, well, the melting down the chemical of plastic, I also think it is toxic. So I think the next step is like to find a way to like decompose it and not have it also then kill you. So it's like, that's a whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think like maybe every time somebody like makes plastic jewelry or like an installation with plastic water bottles, I'm like, I love that. But then I also think like, where does it go?
I know. What do you do when the museum's over? You just toss it in the ocean.
Throw it on a barge. Like I know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. But on a happy note, New York City waters are really great right now. The waters have been improving.
That's
fish
true.
Are coming back to the waters. There's
Didn't
whales.
We like dolphins or something?
Yes, whales. Dolphins, whales, and seals. And I just saw this thing on a National Geographic photographer was out in a canoe right at like north, like in the Bronx and the water, not in the street, and that like seals were coming up to them and stuff like that. And it's to show that life in New York City, sea life is regenerating again, which is huge because it was just like a waste of sewage for a while.
Well, I mean, to be fair, 2 months ago, I went kayaking in the Hudson River. And I was like, this is so beautiful. I was out there with my four-year-old and I was just like, what a lovely thing. And then I get up to like, you can go kayaking for free too, that's by so the way, cool. in the Hudson. It's really fun. Yeah. And I went up there and I just like got my oar in the water and I picked up a condom. So.
Yeah. You know?
But, you know, to be fair, we were near Hell's Kitchen, which was my neighborhood and, you know.
And if it's a beautiful place, people are going to bone there, you know? So that's also like what
I was
get.
Like, somebody, you know what? I'm picking up this trash, but somebody enjoyed themselves.
Somebody had an
safely.
Orgasm.
They safely enjoyed themselves. So. Yeah. You know,
they're happy,
sex is
we're happy.
Yeah.
You know, kids don't know what condoms are yet.
Yeah.
It's also made of plastic. It's a whole thing.
Is it?
I think.
I guess a rubber? A rubber?
A latex? I don't know, guys.
What are condoms? I'm married.
What are condoms? I don't even know. Get me started on everything else in the world. That's why I dyed my hair blonde. I was like, I can't handle America and reality. So we're doing some changes.
Yeah.
But Cody, this was amazing. And you are so fun. And you're so smart and profound and on top of shit. That's why I also want everyone to run to your podcast right now. It's so good. It's funny, but also like
Thank
really
you so
good.
Much. Yeah. We do like to talk about real issues.
Yeah.
And I can go on a huge rant about chocolate milk in New York City schools. You know?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Again, it has nothing to do with plastic, except...
It's lined with it?
Maybe came in a plastic jug at some point. I don't know. Yeah. They're in paper. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it a bad thing? Give me a preview.
Oh, for the chocolate milk? Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you think.
Kids don't need it.
I think it's ridiculous that they're forced to have chocolate milk. The milk lobby has forced every school to have milk.
Why?
Because they're a milk lobby and they want everyone to have milk.
Because of money.
So then they were like, oh, you know what? We're going to get rid of chocolate milk because it's just like whatever. But then the milk lobby was like, no, 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 no. The only milk kids will drink is chocolate milk and you have to have milk because we said you have to. So now we have to have chocolate milk.
Is it only chocolate milk?
No, no, no. You have the option. But
so
like
you have both.
Yes, yeah. But it's ridiculous because your kid's just going to be like, hey, I want chocolate milk. Anyway, listen to our podcast. We talk about it every month. I think milk is weird. I'm not really a fan of it, which is fine. People drink milk. Cool. But I just feel like, why are we mandated to have milk for our children? It feels weird. Aren't we past that? Like, is this the 1950s? Are like grown adults drinking jugs of milk? Like, that's weird.
I don't think so. No.
My dad still drinks a lot of milk. And I'm like, what is – You know, he's this a kid of the 50s. I was like, what is happening? Like, you're a grown man who just, like, has a cup of milk every day? Like, what is going on?
But you know what? It's working for him.
I guess. It's weird, though, right?
It's weird.
Have you seen, like, a man in his 60s drinking milk? It just feels weird.
No, I don't.
I don't support it.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I make fun of him for it.
Good.
Sorry, all you milk drinkers.
So are all
there.
Of our listeners like, ugh. No, I do. I'm doing like we do oat milk and almond milk. And then I was on a walk today. Like, I'm sure there's something in one of these.
Oh,
like,
no.
Organic...
Almond milk is terrible. It costs. Right. It takes a lot
terrible.
Of water.
And then I'm sure there's like they put some sort of like chemical that we're going to find out later. Like this, you know, gives you three eyeballs.
Life is about choices. We're either getting veneers or we're not. And you know what? We're bad either way. But we're just going to have to make our choice.
But we're here and we're living. At least we're better than the 70s in some way.
Some ways.
Not
at all. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cody. This was so fun. It was so fun to hang out. Such a fun episode. And
such a fun episode about how there's plastic everywhere.
But you know what it might be? It might be people listening. This is what I'm hoping, is that they have these thoughts and worries and concerns too. And people kind of talk about it briefly. There'll be like an Instagram GIF. Mm-hmm. But no one goes like, what's really the fuck going on? Because we're all very isolated.
It's not your fault. No. You were duped.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And if you can't make all of the extreme changes you want in your life right now, there will be time to be able to do it again. And everybody's just really trying their best.
We are.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Caitlin.
You're amazing.
ScamWow Podcast Season 2 is produced and edited by me, Caitlin Brodnick, produced and edited by Caitlin Moldenhauer, and edited by Jesse Caron. We are part of the More Banana Podcast Network, which is an all-female owned and run network for women's voices uninterrupted. If you love us, the best thing you can do is rate and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It will help us tremendously. Thank you guys so much for listening, all of your support. We're so happy to have you here, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.